Good morning and welcome to Backyard and Beyond. This morning we're visiting with Chad Timm about a program coming up. Good morning to you, Chad.
Good morning.
Chad, you're going to be in Atlantic on Sunday the 17th, 2 p.m. at the American Legion Memorial Building, and local folks call it the Armory because that's what it was for years. And I'm really excited to have you coming to Atlantic to talk about the prisoner of war camps in Iowa. There are a lot of people who don't know about that.
I know. I grew up in Iowa, and already had an undergraduate degree in history and was in a master's program in history before I even knew this story existed. So it's a fascinating story. It's one that a lot of folks don't know about, but it's an important one to tell.
It is. And you may want to talk about this a little more, that you talked with your grandmother who actually had experience working with some of these prisoners. And I think there are a number of people in the area who do have those stories, and we need to capture all of that information before that goes away.
Absolutely, and that's something that I was thinking about when I said that a lot of people don't know the story. It amazes me that when I travel around the state and actually give this talk and meet everywhere I go, I meet folks who have personal connections to this. So while the story of two prisoner of war camps in Iowa and, you know, more than 30,000 prisoners of war over a 2.5-year period, it's not a story that's widely known. Many folks actually have memories or have connections to prisoners of war working on their farms or working on their family farms. And so I'm excited to come to Atlantic and maybe run into some folks who might have some of those stories to tell as well.
You may do that. Now, when you say two prisoner of war camps, Algona and Clarinda were those major camps, but I keep hearing people talk about the prisoners who worked north of Audubon.
Right.
So were there other smaller camps?
Absolutely. There were two main, what were called, there were two permanent camps in Iowa, one in Algona, one in Clarinda, and these were significant structures. Each camp was built on about 186 acres of land. Each camp cost more than $1 million to build at that time. And so communities would essentially petition the government for the creation of a camp in their community, because these were, I mean, it's a long story, but part of the story is that these generated a lot of revenue for these local communities because the camps were constructed from nothing. So, and the camps were built to hold 3,000 prisoners of war and 500 American enlisted men. And
Chad, did you say $1 million?
$1 million, yep.
I mean, this is World War II.
I know. See, what eventually happened by the time the camps were built in Iowa, and this is going to be in late 1943, the War Manpower Commission had developed architectural plans that these camps were built around. So both camps in Algona and Clarinda were built on the same architectural design, and so they had barracks for the enlisted men. They had barracks for the prisoners of war. They had their own water treatment facilities. They were pretty much little cities built just outside of town. But if you lived further than 20 or 30 miles from one of these main camps, then it was nearly impossible for you to get access to the farm labor that those prisoners of war would eventually provide. So by 1944, the government instituted a policy whereby smaller contingents of POWs, let's say 100 to 300, could temporarily be garrisoned in a local community to create what was called a branch camp. So we had these two main camps in Iowa, but we had between 20 and 40, depending upon the time, branch camps throughout the state. There was one in Tabor, Iowa. There was one in Shenandoah, Iowa. And there was one in Waverly and Eldora and Toledo, Iowa. I mean, across the state for periods of time when the work was needed.
Mm-hmm. Pretty amazing. And you mentioned, and I know you're going to go into a lot more detail on all these
Absolutely.
Kinds of things, but we just kind of want to mention some of these things. It was really important for those prisoners here to do agricultural work.
It was, because, I mean, if you think about this, when the Japanese attacked Pearl Harbor and when we enter the war, by 1942 and 1943, we had literally millions of American men and women who are now serving overseas, and many, if not the majority of them, were between the ages of 18 and 25. They were ideal farm laborers, and so during the spring planting season or the fall harvesting season, many farmers would rely on a handful of farm laborers to help them get their work done. By 1943, in Iowa alone, we had 70,000 young men who were farm laborers who were now enlisted in the armed services. Mm-hmm. And so farmers were being asked to do more by the War Food Administration. Farmers in Iowa were asked to grow more, harvest more. Basically, they were asked to feed an army, mm-hmm. but yet they were asked to do so with less labor than they had before. And so it wasn't an easy process, and at first it wasn't a smooth process, but eventually what happened is Italian, German, and Japanese prisoners of war worked on Iowa farmers with Iowa farmers.
And also perhaps related businesses. I think you mentioned that some worked in a canning factory and some worked in Earl May Nursery.
Absolutely, yeah. During the busy season, especially in 1945, Earl May Nursery paid the government to employ Japanese
wow.
prisoners of war. Yeah,
amazing.
And that's what the story that I mentioned when I first discovered this and started doing research on it. My maternal grandmother, her name was Alice McNamara, and she grew up in Shenandoah. She said, "Oh yeah, I was 17 years old, and I remember working at Rome Nursery, and there were Japanese men there." And at first, I said, "Yeah, right, Grandma." I even looked at the census manuscripts, and in 1940 and in 1950, there was no one who identified being of Japanese
sure.
descent. So I wondered if my grandma was telling a story. And
uh-huh.
then, of course, I eventually found out that there were Japanese men there, and they were Japanese soldiers.
And, you know, it surprised me. I knew that there were a lot of German prisoners of war here. I had
yep.
no clue that we had Japanese prisoners of war. So
well,
right away, I learned something new.
Yeah, and that's something that I'll talk about in much more detail. But just in general, we being the United States and the Allies, did not take many Japanese prisoners. There were only two POW camps in the United States that housed Japanese soldiers,
mm-hmm.
one in Wisconsin and one in Clarinda.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Now, you talked about your initial interest talking to your grandmother and then the research you've done. We should just mention a little bit here, Chad, that you are an associate professor of education at Simpson College in Indianola, and you taught high school history for quite a few years and have gotten some awards for that. So I think we're in good hands here when you come to see us on the Sunday, the 17th of February, coming up here this coming Sunday, and 2:00 at the American Legion Memorial Building, the Armory. That's at 201 Poplar Street, in case you're not familiar with that. And it's one of our continuing programs. Chad, we try to offer a program usually the third Sunday of most months of the year, and a wide variety. And so it's, but especially folks like to learn more about what's close to them, and this is close to us in Southwest Iowa.
Yeah, it is, and it's such an important story. And you know, being a former high school history teacher, any chance I can get in front of young people to talk about this story, I'll do it because I lost one of my grandmas last year. She was 98, and,
mm.
and that generation, mm-hmm. we you know, every day we lose a few more, and the stories, we don't want the stories to disappear with them. So we want to keep telling the story and share, and it's a fantastic story.
Now, one of the other things that I've been thinking about is that, you know, we hear all of the reports of our American prisoners that were in German prisons and Japanese prisons and how terribly they were treated so much of the time. Was there any of that kind of bad treatment going on here in Southwest Iowa or Algona for these prisoners that were from other countries?
That's a great question. And generally, there was some, obviously there's going to be some differences in terms of our response and reaction to the Japanese prisoners of war as opposed to the German POWs.
Mm-hmm.
But what Iowans found, both in Southwest Iowa and in North Central Iowa, for the German POWs especially, once they employed these POWs, they worked on their farms, they developed relationships with them that were significant and profound. I mean, there are a lot of German-Americans that live in Southwest
sure.
Iowa, a lot of German-Americans in North Central Iowa. I've actually interviewed and talked to people who had family members who still spoke German and who spoke German to the POWs when they worked for them.
Mm-hmm.
And they surprisingly, and I have some stories that I'll tell related to this, but they developed relationships, especially with the German POWs, that were pretty significant, and that many of them continued on for years and years and years. But no, the attitude, I'll be quick, the attitude in Iowa was that if we treated these POWs poorly and word got back to Europe that our boys who were in POW
even worse.
There would be even worse, yes.
Okay. Well, they're just, I know that you're going to have so many stories to tell. Again, I want to mention that is this coming Sunday on the 17th of February, 2 p.m. at the American Legion Memorial Building. That's the Armory. And there is no fee, and there are refreshments. So we're looking forward to Chad Tim being there with us.
I'm excited to be there, and I tell stories, and I can't help it, but I've got a lot more to tell.
All right,
I'm looking forward to meeting everybody.
Great. Until next time, here's a thought from Lori Duchesne. Pause before judging. Pause before assuming. Pause before accusing. Pause when you're about to react harshly, and you'll avoid saying and doing things you will regret later.